Okay. We will continue. So we've got a lot of good things planned for you guys this weekend. We have some time, like we just did tonight, for you just to spend time with each other, because we know you guys are good friends and spread out on four different campuses. You don't get to see each other very often, so it's fun just to be together. And this will be one of the rare times for the summer you'll get that, because, you know, as soon as people arrive, there's always people asking for things. You know, it's a small picture for you of what it's going to be like when you have kids. You know, I talk to people sometimes about, you know, what time do you wake up on a Saturday morning? I wake up whenever Lincoln wakes up, because there's no other choice. Because as soon as he was there, he demands my attention. And so right before we had Lincoln, we could do what we wanted to do, as late as we wanted to do. But now, whenever he needs something, we have to give in. Same thing for you guys. Right now, you can hang out with each other as much as you want. But on May 24th, when all those disciples arrive, they need something, and you're always available. And so suddenly all your free time, or much of your free time, just starts to disappear. And so we want this weekend to be some of that for you guys, to enjoy each other, to be praying out for each other, encouraging each other. We'll try to break away during the summer at times for you guys to continue and encourage each other, but we'll have some times of that. But the big things we're going to do is give you a little bit of just some practical things you're going to be using this summer, because I know as you think, man, the summer's almost here. You know, what am I really going to be doing? We want to give you some practical things and some things you can even be working on this next month before you get there. But what we're going to do a lot of is just principles. What are the principles that work with any room, girl or guy, three guys or five girls, or people who are new Christians or people who are old Christians, people who are trouble to deal with and people who are just a joy to deal with? The principles are going to be the same wherever you go. That's what we're going to really be focusing on this weekend, because that's what you need to understand, because you're going to have so many different people around you. So that's what we're going to do. But before we go into any of that stuff, tonight we're going to talk about vision, because that's where everything really begins. That this summer is part of your vision, hopefully. And so if you would, open up your notebook. We got an outline. We're going to go through some notes. We're going to talk about vision, your vision, and how it fits in the summer. You should have a colorful notebook. Andrew's got a purple one. He chose that one. I heard. There should be an outline called A Leader's Vision. That's what we're dealing with. Oh, no. Tara, it's your purse in here. Can I have that book? She's going to pass something up. You can pass it. Did anyone not get their folder? Did anyone miss that? Hey, right in time. Hey, Steph. Yeah. Can you get something for her real fast? Oh, perfect. So we're going to talk about, did everyone get their outline? Everyone's good with that? Oh yeah, lights are good. We're going to talk about vision for a little bit. I love to come back to this topic. I enjoy talking to people about that, whether it's a small conversation or it's a talk like this or an encouraging thing, because vision really, it determines your steps, where you're going in life, and it interprets your steps. It does both. It determines your steps and interprets your steps. Because without any vision, you don't know where you're walking. You're just going wherever things lead you. And without any vision, things happen to you, but you don't know how to interpret it. Oh, this was not good, this was not fun, this was hard. But if you have vision, you can interpret, this is helpful for me, this was not helpful for me. If you have vision, you know, I want to go this way, not that way. So vision, without it, I mean, with it, it's for your determining your steps and interpreting your steps. You need it for that. There's a good quote on there. It's blown me away when I heard it. Helen Keller, many of you guys, well, every one of you is familiar with Helen Keller. She was blind, left a legacy on the world through her life. And then there was an interview with her one time. They asked her, Helen, you know, is there anything worse than being blind? You know, this is your life, you're blind. Can you imagine anything else that could be worse than being blind? And she said, yeah, to have eyesight or to have sight, but no vision. For her, it's worse to be able to see things but have no vision for your life or what you're going to do. And she's obviously a woman that can demonstrate that, because she had no eyesight but had vision, and therefore she left a mark in the world. And many of us have perfect eyesight, or at least with our glasses we do, and I leave no mark in the world because I have no vision. There's another thing there. It's a Chinese proverb that's interesting that really ties in what we're doing this summer. And it says, if your vision is for a year, plant wheat. You know, you plant it, a year later it comes up. If your vision is for 10 years, plant trees. Grow a little slower. It takes a little time to see them come up. If you want 10 years out, you know what you want. Plant trees. If your vision is for a lifetime, plant people. And we're not Chinese, but the principle applies. And there's short-term goals, there's long-term visions, and then there's lifetime visions or lifetime visions. And what we are dealing with mostly is eternal vision and lifetime visions. I mean, you guys, if you want a degree, you get a you want a job, you get a degree. You want to impact the nations, do something spiritual. Multiply your life. And so that's what we want to talk about. So I'd love to, for you guys, even think as we're jumping into this, you know, still, what is your vision for your life? Where are you going? Where do you want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now? When you look way down the road, what do you want your life to look like? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be like? What kind of impact and legacy, impression on the world are you wanting to leave? Do you think about that much? Do you dream about that much? I hope that you do. Because as big as that is, it's going to determine your steps today, what you're doing. And I know, at least for you, that part of your long-term vision has something to do with growing your relationship with God, teaching others to walk with God. That's why you're doing what you're doing. Well, we got to ask the question of, sometimes, if we're not clear on what our long-term vision is, the summer can become our vision. Now, I hope that you have vision for the summer, that you've already been thinking, I want this to happen in my life, or I want to see things like this happen, or I want to see girls grow like this, I want to see guys change like this, I want to see God grow me like this. I hope you have vision for the summer, but I hope your vision isn't the summer. I hope you're not thinking, man, this summer is my vision. I wanted to be a servant leader. I wanted to come back in this role. I wanted to be back in Orlando. I wanted to be able to help people. But hopefully your vision is, I want to be a laborer who knows Christ and gives his life away. And then this summer just fits in line with where I'm going 50 years from now. It's a big difference. If my vision is my summer, it doesn't take you anywhere. You do it and then you go home. But if your vision for your lifetime, this makes perfect sense for what you're doing. So what I want to do is pull you back to this. Your vision, what it should be, and what I know some things are true that they are, haven't changed and are the same. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 4:19. We're going to start right there because it is your vision, regardless of who you are, at least piece of it. Here we go, Matthew 4:19. I know what your vision is for your life. I may not know every facet of your vision, but I know at least part of your vision for life. It all started, whether a year ago or 2 years ago or when you were little, but at some point someone shared the gospel with you, either a friend or a gospel tract or a sermon, and Jesus somehow said to you, come, follow me. This is what Jesus is saying here. We're seeing this picture here of him calling some specific people. He's passing along the way, and he stopped and singled out a few people and said, you, stop what you're doing right there, and you, come and follow me. And at some point in your life, that has happened for you. Though he wasn't physically walking beside you as you were sitting on the bank fishing, through the gospel message, Jesus spoke to your heart and said, stop what you're doing, stop rebelling against me, turn around and follow me. And something inside of you, your eyes were open to see Christ and behold him as his glory. Your heart was regenerated. You were transformed. And you said, yes, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And so from that point on, the rest of your life has been this. I'm going to follow Christ. And whether I'm following him to an OP last summer, or I'm following him back at school, or I'm following him into my career, your vision for your life started when Jesus spoke to you through the gospel and said, come follow me. And that's what it's going to be the rest of your life. Following Christ. 50 years from now, your vision for your life is, I want to be following Christ. When I get back to school next year, my vision for my life is, I want to be following Christ. It started with that, and it hasn't changed. Some things may change or clarify, but that part is the overall objective of your vision for your life. And the rest of your vision for your life, of the main general things you're looking at, comes what Jesus said next. He said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So he said, come follow me, and he says, I'll make you fishers of men. So the origin of your vision was, come follow Christ. And you said, yes, I'm going to come follow you. So if you fill in the notebook or the outline, it's literally, come follow me. The rest of your vision is, I will make you disciples, or I'll make you fishers of men. Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Does this really just quit working? Everything else in life fits into that. It may clarify, I want to be in South Africa, or I want to be a teacher here, but the general doesn't change. I want to follow Christ, and I want him to make me a fisher of men or women. And it started when he called you, and that's what you're doing now. You're doing it on the campus, you're trying to follow him, and he's using you to fish for men and women. That's the big picture, and that's what this summer is more of. And so when that started, you know, a year ago when you said, I want to go to OP, That's what most of you guys were saying when you went. You said, man, I've decided to go to this Orlando project because I want to follow Christ. He's changed my heart and I want to know him. And it's going to help me know him. And then the other thing that we read on applications, what you wrote last year and every year, people say, I want to know him and I want to learn how to share my faith, or I want to impact my fraternity, or I want to impact my classmates. And so I want to know him. I want to become a fisher of men. That's why you went to Orlando a summer ago, and you're living that out. And I would remind you that it hasn't changed this year. You're coming back down because of that same vision that you want to follow Christ and you want to become a fisher of men and women. It's the next step of following him and becoming a fisher of men and women. And so your vision doesn't change. This summer, basically what you're going to be doing is the same thing. First, you're going to be doing this, following Christ. That's what we're asking you to come down to. Hopefully this is why you're coming down. You say, I'm coming to Orlando because I want to follow Christ. It's going to help me know him more. Intimately, I'm going to trust him, understand him, experience him. I'm going to Orlando to know Christ. I came to Orlando last summer to know Christ. I'm going to Orlando this summer to know Christ, because that's my objective for the rest of my life, to know him, and this is going to help me. And then the second thing, your vision for this, your life this summer, or vision for this summer, is the same as it was before. I want to become a fisher of men. So it was that in the beginning, and now it's the same thing. You're going back to Orlando to know him and to learn a little bit more about how to fish for men and women. And so nothing has changed. Your roles have changed, but hopefully your vision hasn't changed. This is just another avenue to do the exact same thing that you were called to when you first heard the gospel. Now, focused perspective, though, I would ask you, there's a few things you need to be asking yourself. If this is true, if you're going back to Orlando because of your overall vision to know Christ and make him known, you're going back this summer, here's a few questions you need to be asking yourself that really are your primary questions that you need to be asking yourself. I know you've got a ton of questions and a ton of things you want to learn, but these are the first things you need to be asking yourself. You want to be asking yourself this summer, one, what does God want to teach me? Not, the first question isn't, how do I get people to deal with conflict? The first question isn't, you know, how do I get this person the word? It's not, how do I get them not to be afraid to share their faith? What diagram should I use in front of them next time? Your first question is, what does God want to teach me? Because you're going down there because you're going to follow Christ, and so therefore you know if he's leading you there, he's wanting to reveal himself to you so you can know him. And so you want to be asking all the time, what does God want to teach me here? That's what I'm looking for. I'm giving my life away, but I'm really still focused on me knowing Christ. So what does he want to teach me here? The second question you want to be asking yourself to this is, how does he want to reveal himself to me through this? What does he want to teach me is the first one, but the second one is, how does he want to reveal himself to me through this? Because again, if you're coming, your vision for your life is to follow Christ, it sees one, teach you things, and he's wanting to reveal himself to you. You know, you're going to experience a lot of those, but you want to be asking that. It's not, again, about all the things that are going on. You're going to need those things, but if you're not asking a question, how is Jesus trying to reveal himself to me through this hard situation, or through this good situation, or through this time we went and shared our faith and everything went well, or we went back and everything was wrong, and these people aren't hungry. What is Jesus trying to reveal about himself to me? Now, he's wanting you to see, when these things are, you're giving your life away and they're thankless, he's wanting you to see, that's how I am all the time. People are thankless. And you're seeing it because you're experiencing it. Or if someone's coming at you hard with some things you don't like, and you're seeing what Jesus deals with all the time. People are coming at him hard, you're coming at him hard because you don't like the things he's saying to you, you're doing to you. You're seeing him. He's revealing it to you in experience. So you want to be asking that, what is Jesus trying to reveal about himself to me this summer? And then the third question you need to be asking yourself going into the summer, you know, how does he intend to make me more like Jesus through this? Because he does. He's going to put specific people in your room to make you like Jesus. He can put specific people in your room to make you less like yourself. He's going to make specific things happen. Every summer there's crazy things that happen. You know, families, problems going on at home, and all this trouble's going on here, or this is going on, or people get hurt, or whatever. Things going on. He's going to design those things, not just to get you through it or grow you as a leader, but to do something in your life to make you more like Jesus. And so, if your vision for your summer and for your life is, I want to follow Christ and become a fisher of men, this fits right into it. But you've got to be asking those questions. How can I know him? How is he revealing himself to me? And how is he working in me to make me more like Jesus? It's so easy for you guys to run down there and look over those questions. Now, when I came down as a disciple, I was just here to learn. But now I'm here as a leader, and I'm here to teach them. No, you're there to walk with God and know Him, be made more like Jesus, to see Him, to understand Him, to experiencing Him. And that has to be your vision for your summer. Your first prayer for your life is, Jesus, I want more of You this summer. I want to see You more clearly. I want You to make me more like You. It's got to be first. We're going to turn to a passage and look at how things, when you take your eyes off that, how things get messed up and you miss them. Turn to Mark 10. We're going to look at a situation where Jesus was with some of His disciples. And we were just like these guys. You know, you read the Gospels and read about the disciples and they look like idiots. And then you think again and you realize it's you. And so then you're a little more gracious with them as you read. But in Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 35, it says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Him, Jesus, and said to Him, 'Teacher, we want You to do for us whatever we ask of You.'" Okay, we're stopping right there. When your vision, you forget what your life is about and what you've committed to and what you've seen, what you want, the first thing you start doing is make foolish demands. You start making foolish demands. These people just went up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, we want You to do whatever we tell You to do. We want You to do whatever we ask of You." Who are they to go up to Jesus, the Lord of creation, and say, "We want You, You work for us. We want this, we want You to do it. We don't even want to tell You what it is yet. We just want You to say, 'I'm a genie in a bottle, I'll do what You want.'" But when your vision's off, you can start thinking that way. If your vision isn't, "Man, I want to, God's trying to make me like Jesus, He's trying to reveal Himself to me," you'll come and say, "God, I sacrificed to come down here this summer. God, I want You to do what I want. I want You to change this person right now. I want You to make this easy on me right now. I want You to make this person stop doing this right now. I've sacrificed, God. I want You to do what I want You to do." And you miss what the purpose of the summer is. He's wanting to make you like Jesus. He's wanting to reveal Himself to you. And so you're making foolish demands like, "Change this person right now." If you don't see it correctly, you will pray like that. You'll make foolish demands of God to work out things and make it easier on you and miss what He's trying to do in your life. Then we'll do some of the same things the rest of them do. So they make this foolish demand, and Jesus is gracious as He so often is. He doesn't tell them, you know, "Shut up, what are you doing?" But He said, "Okay, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to Him, "Grant us to sit one at Your right hand and one at Your left hand in Your glory." The next thing that happens when your vision is off, you start making foolish requests. First you make foolish demands. "God, make this happen. God, make this happen. God, do this for me now." And then you start making foolish requests. "Hey, I want to sit at Your right hand, Your left hand. What's that look? I want to be the best room leader down there. I want my room to win the golden plunger because we're the best at this. Hey, I want us to lead more people to Christ than anyone. I want people to notice how good I'm doing getting my people, my men in shape. You know, I get them up every morning and get them in the Word. I make them do this. I want them to see this." These foolish requests that are calling attention to yourself. "And look at how good of a job I did. Look at what, you know, Seth is doing, or Deepak is doing, or Cooley is doing." And it's easy to start doing it. If your vision is not make me more like Jesus, reveal Yourself to me, and teach me about Yourself, it's all focused on just making things happen right now, and we'll make foolish requests like this. And then finally, we'll go on. So Jesus, again, is gracious. He tells them, "Hey, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that which I am baptized?" And they say, "Yeah, we're able to do that." And we know what He's talking about there when He talks about drinking the cup. What is the cup? The cup of God's wrath. And they said, "Yeah, pour us a cup. We can do that." The last thing that starts happening is foolish responses. Foolish responses. We will do like them and make foolish responses and say, "Hey, you know, do you think you deserve glory for this? Do you think we should pat you on the back and say, 'That a boy, good job'? Do you think you've done sacrifice more than everybody else? Do you think we should put you up on a pedestal? Do you think that you know, you've got it all figured out and they just don't understand? If they would just listen to you, all their troubles would be fixed." Because foolish responses, we'll start saying, "Yeah, I know it. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing a good job. They should just listen to me." Foolish responses. But if you see God trying to make me more like Himself, we don't reply that way. And so we want to start here. We got to start here. My vision is to follow Christ and become a fisher of men. And this summer is going to help me towards that. So one other thing we're going to break down to finish this, just some examples of how this can change one way or the other, is you can view this summer as a position, or you can view it as an opportunity. And what flows out of those two visions for the summer go completely different directions. You can view it as a position or an opportunity. Here's what happens, some of the comparison things. And we wish we had this on PowerPoint. You're just going to have to follow with me. If you view it as a position, you'll have a tendency to think you deserve it. Well, I share my faith more than anyone on campus. I'm walking with God. I can answer questions. I'm one of the leaders on my campus. I go to every retreat and show up at D Group on time with my assignments read. I deserve this. You view it as something you deserve. The opportunity views it as this. It's a privilege. Man, this is really going to help. I want to walk with God. This is another thing that's going to help me walk with God. I want to know Jesus. This is going to help me know Jesus. I want to become more like Him. Man, this is a privilege to be able to do something like this. This really helps me. If you view it as a position, oftentimes it will be defined by duties. If your vision for the summer is to see it as a position, it's defined by what's expect. You know, what am I supposed to do? Whereas if you're viewing it as an opportunity, if that's your vision for your life, you have a heart to give all that you can. On one side, you're saying, what's expected of me? Okay, well, I had a one-on-one. I did this. But if you view it as an opportunity to impact people, to train in the walk of God, then there is no question, what's my duty? It's how much can I give? It's very different. Position, opportunity. What's my duty? Define my duties. Heart to give all that you can. Next one. They really connect here, the same kind of thing. On the position side, you ask, what's expected of me? It connects to that duty thing. You know, just defined by duties and the questions you ask, well, what do I have to do this week? What's expected of me? That's what you ask. But the opportunity asks, how much can I give away? One asks, what's expected of me? The other asks, how much can I give? That kind of person goes to bed at night thinking, what could I do differently tomorrow to give more away? How can I help this person grow more? What are the things that aren't connected? I'm doing everything I know, but are there ways I can get their heart more? Is there ways I can help them more? Well, this I talked to them, and I didn't get mean to them. We cleaned our rooms, and we had this person's asking, how much can I give? What else can I give away? Different ideas. Position, you find significance in the title or the role. You know, I'm the servant leader. And there's some significance. I'm not one of them. I'm a step above. I'm a higher tier of maturity. There's some significance I find in this. Where the opportunity person finds their significance in obedience. They're still finding significance. But it's my significance. I'm doing what my Father's asked. I'm walking into His will. It's nice to be able to say I'm doing that. I'm not living in sin. I'm fine. I'm just obeying. Significance and obedience versus significance in a title or role. Next one, position. Your influence is exerted by force, stressing submission, or exalting self. Influence is exerted by, do what I say, you know. Stressing submission. Hey, I'm the leader. You need to listen to me. Exalting self. Hey, I know. If you knew what I knew, you would listen to me. I know so much more. You have so much. Where the opportunity person, their influence is exerted by their example of service. Opportunity. I'm going to serve. I got to make this happen. Different ones. This is a good one. This is a really good one. The position views the summer and says, I've arrived. Last summer I was a lost disciple, didn't know anything. But now I'm a servant leader. I've arrived. I really got my stuff together. The opportunity person that sees as opportunity says, this is going to help me get to where I want to arrive. This is helping me there. I want to be like Christ, and this is going to help me get there. But if your vision's for the summer and the position, I've got it. I'm there. Now, the last one I would say is this. The position is controlled oftentimes by fear of failing. Where on the other hand, the opportunity, if you view it as an opportunity, there's an expectation of failing. Because opportunity says, I don't know how to disciple people. I don't know how to deal with these issues that are coming up. I don't know how to love different kind of people. But I really want to know how to do that stuff. And so to do it, I'm going to have to try, and I'm going to mess up a lot. But that's how I'm going to learn, by trying all these different things. And my vision is to figure it out. Whereas the position, it's like, oh my gosh, what if people realize I don't know what I'm doing? Or what if I mess up? Or what? Completely different. So I would ask you guys to honestly evaluate your heart and think about things. And I'm not assuming the worst of you. I'm not saying that you're this person. But you need to ask, hey, God, help me to keep my vision clear. Because I know generally that your vision is follow Christ, become a fisher of men. And that is why you're going down there this week, this summer, to do this. But it's so easy for these other things to start trickling in that are parts of the summer, and they become your vision for your life instead of just elements of your bigger vision of knowing Him and following Him. So you need to examine your heart, be honest with each other, look at these kind of lists and find out what are my attitudes? Do I have an attitude more like this or this? And then if so, just say, you repent and say, God, that's not my vision. My vision is to know you, and so help me do that. So ask those kind of questions. Talk about that with each other. And come down this summer, and mostly for the reason that you came down last summer, to know Him. And know Him in this new way. That's where everything starts. That's all we're going to talk about tonight. We've got some fun things planned for you. But that's where everything begins. What's your vision for your summer? And all the other things are just details of how we're going to live that out. Let me pray for us, and then give us next directions for what we're going to be doing.